We'd like to welcome those of you who have joined us. Sunday evening Bible study, Vine Grove Baptist Church. Hope and pray you've joined to worship with us in spirit and in truth. Going through the study, focusing on what it means to be saved. This is the third study in this group of studies that we're going to be looking at. And for our group, it's page 2, and you will see study number 3. And I keep printing those for you all like this because I'm hoping that you take one each time and leave it somewhere, just in case. So there'll be plenty. This is easy to print out 3 pages as it is 2. But focusing on what it means to be saved tonight, on our salvation, when you and I talk about being saved, or when someone will ask you, are you saved? We, as Christians, we know exactly what they're talking about. We know the question that they are asking us. But I remember years ago when God called me to preach, and I was in our carpet store, and I remember a lady next door had a business next to our carpet store, and she came over and she said, I hear you got saved. I said, well, I've been saved, but God had called me to preach. Yes. I don't know what you all mean, saved. Saved from what? I don't know what that word even means. And that was my first experience with that. I've had multitudes of experiences similar to that since then, because you and I, a lot of times when we're talking to groups or talking to even to each other, and they've got family or friends or whatever, when they're talking, notice the expression on some of them's face when you talked about, when I got saved. And what we need to start thinking about is a term that would, whether it's, for us, it's saved. But the lost world doesn't associate the term saved with any connection to God or any connection to, or even any idea of what you mean. So how do we deal with that? Well, you deal with it, all of us should, once again, that we deal with it with our actions, physical actions, to where the person come up, I don't know anything about you, but I've watched you over week after week after week, and there's something different about you. Now, remember, the scripture tells us that you and I are to be ready to share the gospel when someone asks us to give an account for our joy or for our happiness. That's the witness. The witness is them seeing us do differently than what they or the rest of the world is doing. And when we listen to someone ask that question, you know that that personality was sent to you by God. Was sent to you by God. You can't say, okay, Faye, I want you to take this one. No. No. You listen to the Holy Spirit. No, Gene, this one's yours. If I'd wanted Faye to have this one, I'd have sent her to there. But we then, how many times have I heard this over the years? Well, you're the preacher, go get them saved. You're the preacher, and that's what we pay you for. You're the preacher, and listen to all of that. Christianity is that relationship with Jesus Christ. For us to be saved, one of the great meanings of that is that we are able, through our actions, to make a difference in somebody else's life. And I think that's so important. People say, well, hey, I take care of my family. What else would God? I always give to my family. I give to this and I give to that. And so I think that I do a pretty good job because I take care of my own. Well, folks, the heathen take care of their own. animals take care of their own. Well, some of them eat their own. But it's it. And sometimes adults, you think that's about to happen. So God says, pay attention. Yes, ma'am.
When you first started, I thought you were going to try to come up with another name for being saved.
Yes.
And I was going to stop you and say, if we have to be politically correct about being saved, just forget it.
What happened, what I really believe has happened with it, when I'd go in, or you listen to the Catholic services from the service, or be around it and listen to the priest in Latin. Well, it didn't do me any good to sit there and listen to Latin, but the Spirit of the Lord still was moving. What is it again? I think I made that little, I said that this morning. Preach the word. If necessary, preach the gospel. If necessary, use words. So the gospel is preached through our action. And I think because for us saying saved to a lost world, that's like them hearing Latin, because they don't know the language of the saved. Yes, ma'am. Right, you're a little slow tonight, Randy. You know, if you'd taken your mother some water this morning, you'd have been better.
But Jesus used the same thing. He said, you must be born again. Did they understand it? No, they didn't. He had to explain
it. That's correct.
But he didn't change his terminology.
No. He didn't change the terminology, but he explained himself, didn't he?
Right.
Did he not explain to, who was it that he was talking to?
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus, yes. Mm-hmm. So he explained himself. Which born again is translated born from above, born anew, born again, several other ways, yeah, saved. Being saved. Mm-hmm. So, but Jesus, many, many times when he was with, now let me tell you, during a lot of his preaching through that 3 years that we have listed of his ministry, you got to remember and pay close attention, because he really got serious in asking and explaining what he was doing to the ones that were in the ditch of life or on the hilltop, on the mountaintop. He did not put up with the religious Pharisees and all at all. Remember, many times he wouldn't even answer their questions. But he knew the heart of the people who really, really wanted to know. And I think all I'm saying on that is there are many different ways for us to express that. Let's do it this way. God's love for us. It's hard for us to like each other a lot of times, much less love each other. So the only way that we can function on this is that we, through prayer, asking that the Lord will give us the strength and the words to touch someone. Many times when I know that I've got somebody coming in to talk to me about salvation, or as they would say, you can always tell according to the term they used. You know, I want to become a member. I want to become a member and get baptized. Will you baptize my baby? And by those questions, well, you don't say what we would say to each other, Faye, you know better than that. What we will say was, come on in and let's talk. And then through that process, you get to share exactly what saved means. Saved from what? You remember the greatest feeling that you ever had in focusing on salvation, or was for me, that I'm saved from myself. I'm scary. I'm really spooky inside. I mean, look at, but I'm not alone. This whole room is spooky on the inside, But we know our own monsters, our own demons that are in there. So what it means to be saved is that we're no different from anybody else. What would we like? How would we have liked for someone to share Christ with us? Or as a kid, we would be seen and not heard. You didn't ask questions on that.
You said as a kid.
Yeah.
At Barnes & Noble in here in E-Town, there's an elderly lady about my age that works there. She's real petite, and she's been fond of Hunter since the day he was born because he kind of took up with her. And I was in a couple of weeks ago, and she wanted to see his picture. She had seen him for a while, and she said, Faye, I'll never forget the day he come in here. And he said, guess what I did this weekend? I asked Jesus to come into my heart. Now, out of the mouth of a babe, so he didn't have to use the word saved.
Yep.
He just said.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's that again goes back to, okay, now you've got to be sure when the parents talk to their kids, I don't want them to make a mistake or tell me about their act. What if they make a mistake and they really aren't saved? And that just completely drives me crazy. When Jesus is the one who said, allow the little children to come to me, for of such are the kingdom of heaven, or is the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, but our terms do get way out there for some people. Even when you say hallelujah, you know, Brother Randy gets a little wild up there, which gets us fired up and ready for the hallelujah moment. But when we use those terms, watch people that don't know Christ. When you say, you'll see them sort of back away. Because, you know, that sounds a little weird. That sounds like somebody is a religious nut. I wished we would have a lot more Christian nuts than the religious ones. Religion is destroying God's church. Religion is a focus of 1, 2, 3, rule here, just like joining a club. When you join this church, here's how you will dress, what you will say, how, you know, and all of this stuff, not this church. Gosh. And that's a fact, isn't it? To be free to worship and accepted for who we are.
We got a fire lit up.
Yep. And set my soul afire when the Lord sets it afire.
And I
want
to shout.
Yep. I told Faye, I said, Faye, you do know after Chelsea preached her sermon this morning, I said, you do know who was the first one that led in the applause? I said, it was Jean. And I said, the reason I noticed it so much, she had her gloves on, so I knew the air conditioner was way down, way down.
Yes. I thought she hit it nail on the head.
Yes, she did. Yes, she did. And that's where the flame begins to burn. And you never know what little word, what subject matter that you may have for someone else that'll light that flame in their heart. Okay. What it means to be saved. Number 3 here. We are God's most treasured possession. Now, if you and I, all Christians are God's most treasured possession. Well, let's see if that's right. Look, 1 Peter 2:9. You are a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Deuteronomy 7:6. You are a people holy to the Lord your God, his treasured possession. I think I just told you that. And that's where I got it from. A holy for God. Remember, the term holy, and I'll keep repeating this until I'm gone out of this world. Holy means set apart for God's service. That's the definition of holy. Set apart for God's service. Now, let me hit this again. You remember, be ye holy for I am holy? Okay. How can I be holy? We struggle with this. Gosh, look at that. The Lord tells me to be holy because he is holy. And that means that I must be set apart for God's service at all time. How am I going to do that? The Lord has asked us to be holy because he is holy. Here's something we overlooked. He's saying, now let me put it this way. Be holy, for I am holy. It is the holiness of Christ who is in us. You and I keep thinking that, Lord, I got this now. I got it right here in my mind, exactly what that means, definition and all. So therefore, I'll let everybody know that I no longer sin. That is so far from what the Lord said. He said, I want you to be holy, my children, set apart for my service. But you can only be that way through my holiness, says the Lord. Because I am holy, you can be holy. And people keep wanting to take charge of God and of their salvation. That's one thing you'll never do. Folks, you will never get good enough. You will never walk that straight and narrow as we think of straight and narrow. Good enough to bypass the cross. Not going to happen. But when we think, like in my salvation, here, a meaning of that with me is this. I know, I don't even know all my weaknesses, that's for sure, because you get new things sprung on you all time. But one thing I do know, that I had absolutely nothing to do with God loving me. Did he not say that he saved me when I was certainly unlovable? He saved me when I don't like myself. I'm still his son, right? We're still the family of God. The holy part, again, simply saying, Larry, now that you've accepted me, I set you apart for our Father's service. You don't have a thing to do with it, Larry. I had a choice to say yes to Jesus. When I said yes to Jesus, the Lord knows how to chastise me, to correct me, because he loves me, but never to allow the world to overshadow one of his children. What was it again? You'll never see a child of God bagging bread, or it's up here somewhere in one of those compartments in my brain. Said you'll never see that, and I think. Say it again.
Shall never be forsaken or begging.
Yes, or see, one of my children forsaken or begging for bread, and yet I've listened to people say, "Well, wait a minute, there are nations out there that are starving to death." Okay, what does it mean for me to be saved? To become active for the Lord and to take care of a need when I'm able to do that. Look at Isaiah 43:4. God says, you are precious to me. You know, I never thought, Faye, when I had asked Faye, do you love me? She said, I'm beginning to like you a little. But the scripture says, God says you are precious to me. I've never had, Larry, has Kathy ever told you how precious you are? Yeah. That was a nightmare the girl was having that time, wasn't it? But God says you're precious to me. Luke 12:24. Look at the birds. God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to him than any birds. as we know also that I loved it when, I can't remember the preacher's name, was preaching along and he said, "My God, is at every funeral for every bird." And I thought, what? Then I caught on to that. If God saw every bird that would fall, how much more precious are we than those birds? And we think, well, I wonder where God was during this. Many times it is God that reaches down, and instead of seeing the torture of individuals or such great pain of accidents or whatever, he says, come on home. Let me get off script like I never do that. But I want us to think about something too. When you and I start focusing on our own heart, what does it mean to be saved? Have you ever thought about the different sins that are committed today? Normally we think about all the sins that we're not involved with. And it makes us feel better, just like the prisoners I had in the prisons and the jails. What did they do? They would distinguish the crime. Well, come in, well, I'm only in for robbery. You're in for strong arm robbery. You're in for murder. I never murdered anybody. And then they would group. They would all get in different groups. And then, of course, the one now are the pedophiles, to the point that they've got a whole, we have a prison just for those individuals who molest children in any form where they're convicted. It's at LaGrange, but it's a Luther Luckett complex, different complex. They had to put a prison in for people like this to keep the riots and the fights and the killings done within the prison because they picked the sin. You and I have no right to pick the sin. Now, I'm saved. As my brother said, brother-in-law said during my mother's 95th birthday party, he was fussing at me about the idea, and I can picture him now at Mom's table looking at me and said, "Larry, I cannot believe that you believe that once saved, always saved. You're telling me that a person goes out here and does horrible things, and they murder, or they do rape, or do this," and he said, "Are you telling me they'll go to heaven?" I said, "Only if they're Christian, if they're saved." And that really bothered him. It really did. And what continues to this day to break my heart is he found out because he killed my sister. But you look at that because what you're saying is other people, you know, their sin looks worse than my sin. As a Christian, do you believe being saved means that you are saved and secure? Now, what if you do have a case of the stupids and go out and go completely crazy? You still going to heaven? Is your salvation and your look at being saved, if it is based on your actions, every one of us going to hell. It's based on Jesus' actions, and when we say, "I believe." Now, you know that your pastor goes completely, almost crazy when it has to do with any harm to a child. Can't handle it. Elderly folk or children. I just have a horrible time with that. Well, but it said then, are you... All I've done was go out and steal a few things. That individual over there, he hurt and harmed so many people. Oh, I heard him. I remember the day he walked forward in church and accepted Jesus Christ. But look at the crime. Is he going to heaven? Do you ever think about any of that? Then as you think about it, remember something. There is no grade of sin. Sin is sin in God's realm. There's only one that's right. The unpardonable sin is the sin of unbelief. But you know, there was a sin that Jesus himself said was a greater sin. It's not the unpardonable. It's not the one of unbelief. You remember who that was said against? It was during the time of his betrayal by Judas Iscariot. When, remember here he's talking to Pilate. And Pilate said, you would have no authority me over, you would have no authority over me at all unless my Father allowed you to have. And then Jesus continues. He said, he, the one who turned me over to you, he has the greater sin. But remember who the one that turned him over, Jesus said he was, the son of perdition. Remember that term is of hell, Satan himself, where people become tools of Satan. Can a Christian become tools of Satan? Saved? You ever been tricked into thinking or look at some area of life or individuals or what you would have normally really nailed as that is so sinful, and then through life you start gaining insight to each situation? Let me do it this way, because I think this is very important. I know the Lord laid this on my heart many times, and I've backed away from it. Each one of us, remember how we are all individuals. But we need to grasp this. The focus is has never been anyone like us ever, nor will there ever be. That's how individual we truly are. But look at our life. Well, now what would tempt you won't tempt me. Well, that's odd, isn't it? What would you would do over here that you would say, Brother Larry, you shouldn't be doing that because I don't believe it's right, because, you know, that food, it's not clean food. It's a pig. Oh, what I say? It's a good pig. Little barbecue sauce, and it gets better all the time. But if it would offend one person, you and I are not allowed to be eating it. Not because there's something wrong with it, but remember why? The offense that we would bring. The type of offense, and I'm not talking about on the ones who just want to nail Christian. I'm talking about you sitting down to a table and seeing people drink something that you wouldn't drink any of this, and all of a sudden you say, you horrible sinner, I thought you were saved. We've got to be careful. But here's the focus. I really believe with all my heart that our striving and our battle through life in this physical body is focused around that bad chip. Remember, I use that to help Brother Randy out understand some things. That just like a computer is put together with all the little chips, something's wrong there. Think of that something that is wrong. That's why we can't judge whether a person is going to heaven or hell. That's left up to God. Because I don't know which chip has never worked right in that individual from the beginning. Therefore, don't judge that individual based on yourself, because you got a couple of chips that's burned out also, just different type of chip. But your whole life then, our battle in life focuses on us overcoming through Christ, through being saved, us overcoming through our salvation of turning it over to the Lord. But now, then that means then you conquer it. Paul didn't, did he? The Lord wouldn't even take that a thorn away from him. What did the Lord say? Now, you're made strong, Paul, when you're weak and you admit that chip is something that you can't deal with. I really believe that, folks. That battle, how would I know about that? Because I know chips that are messed up in me. But I also know this, that because I am saved, if I will turn it over to Christ and say, Lord, I can't do this. There's not one time that the Lord would say, oh, you're on your own on this one, Larry. No. So what does it teach me? It teaches me then that I must be ever, ever depending on God's grace to help me battle the, what we call the demons inside, and Randy Kidder calls the chips, the demons, we are going to have to deal with that. Well, what if the Lord would just take it away? I don't know. Would we get to the point that we'd figure we don't need the Lord anymore? Because we don't have that temptation? That thinking is sin within itself. I don't understand myself. How in the world am I going to understand anybody else? But here's the blessing on our salvation. God tells us that He knew us before time began, and that He created us. He watched us as He allowed creation to form in the womb of our mothers. He watched. And He said, you know, I've got everything laid out for you, Larry. When you trust me, I will see you later. There's so much more grace power than there is power from hell. If we would get our heart focused more on leading the broken, whatever that we see as their sin, would that not also help us better understand our salvation? Because did not the Lord forgive us for a whole lot? And I still can't wrap my mind around. The Lord forgave me. When I said yes to Jesus, He forgave me for the sins I will commit after I was saved. Did you ever hear anybody say they can't be saved because they committed the sin? We do not help people in our self-righteousness. We can only help someone through the righteousness of who Jesus is and what He's done within my heart. Y'all got any questions over this? I didn't mean to preach. I never do sometimes, but that's in me. You'd think the Lord called me to it or something. But let me add Luke 12:24, look at the birds. God feeds them, and you are far more valuable to Him than any birds. Because, folks, we're precious to God. Precious to God. Gosh, that makes me feel good. Yes, treasure. I never thought of being treasured either. And I'll tell you this. I thank God for every personality He's ever placed in my life. I thank God for everybody that he's placed in my life that just can't stand me or that even hate me. And I thank him for that simply because each personality I've had in my life has helped me to grow.
So there's a balance.
Yes.
Or a better balance or a bad balance.
Yeah. Well, and that's life, isn't it? Yes. What I still grasp at is this. Lord, why didn't I learn this stuff before I got too old to be able to really get it across?
That's life.
And the Lord also lets us know, if I speak through you, you'll have the voice. For those of you who don't have a church home, you're within the Vine Grove area, you come and see us, 408 West Main Street in Vine Grove. God bless you and have a blessed new week.